Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's would you rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Wake up! It's still football season. This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
Where are you at, brother?
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you, the 3rd of December, 2019. Dusty here at Camp Cleland. How are you, Mr. Cleland?
Doing all right.
All right.
Doing good?
Buck, are you all right, too?
I'm very all right, yeah.
All right, there we go. We're all right. I feel like Kenny Loggins should chime in, singing I'm all right.
I'm all right.
I'm all right.
Doing all right?
Caddyshack.
Just in time.
Are you sure you're okay, though? Because, I mean, yeah. We don't get sportsy very often here, but...
Not awake yet. I'm going to wake up slowly.
Okay.
It was a long day yesterday.
It was probably a taxing day for you, too.
No, I had to winterize my RV, and it was by myself.
What?
It took me 3 hours.
Okay, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's a lot of work, by the way, man. Somebody wanted to charge me $400. I'm like, no, I'll just do this myself.
I don't even know what that means.
Winterizing?
Yeah, your RV.
Oh, gosh.
Like, what does that mean you have to do to an RV?
And that was way too.
Right?
He wanted to fade that in.
We're all right.
I actually like doing that kind of stuff. I like doing all the maze.
What do you do?
I don't know. Winterizing.
I don't know what it means to winterize an RV.
Oh, you got to make sure all your pipes are filled with RV coolant. You got to drain all the tanks. You got to make sure you hook up your air compressor, and you got to blow out all the lines first because you don't want anything to freeze, because then you blow the lines and all the fittings in there. Mm-hmm. They're all plastic fittings, so you got to be very careful. There's no brass fittings on the inside.
It's all ball bearings.
So then you got to drain your hot water tank. You got to readjust your pump, and then you got to pump in all your RV fluid while you're adjusting and drain everything, and then it's quite a process.
Mm. Yeah, this is probably why I'm not an RV owner.
No, but, you know, it's recreational like vehicle. There's the, you know, it's recreation. I do that to keep it recreated.
It's a lot of stuff.
But I was RVing recreationally, taking care of it, and my phone went bzz, 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 brah, brr, in 5 different texts, and my phone started going crazy, and I went, what the heck's going on?
I have a question really quick about, before we get to why your phone was going off.
Yeah.
Does this mean, like, even if it's like, hey, we want to go, come meet us and let's go camping, you're like, no, I'm done. I already winterized.
I could do that. Yeah, that'd be a little annoying, but it's not that big a deal. You just hook up to the water and it flushes out. It's not that big a deal.
Waste another 3 hours when you have to re-winterize
it. It's $5 a gallon for the RV fluid. It's the labor is what people charge you for.
It's the 3 hours. Yeah. You're going to have to waste another 3 hours.
My labor's free.
But then your phone started going off.
My phone started going off.
Did your day take a turn?
No, I mean, not. Do you want to get into this already? You want to get out of the gate?
I want to get your initial thoughts on Chris Peterson stepping down as head coach, because I was shocked. I know Buck was shocked.
Well, you guys are all shocked because you didn't know. We were all shocked. Everybody was shocked. There wasn't anybody that wasn't. Nobody was expecting this. Not at all.
That's what I wanted to know, is that, like, Like, I saw Larry Stone in the Seattle Times. He was like, the writing was on the wall.
No.
Was it, though?
No. No, this succession plan was in place. This was always going to be the Jimmy Lake Show. It just was probably about 3 years too early, 3 to 4 years too early. I think that was kind of right around that mark. I think Coach wanted to be about 10 years, but that's just, he could say it was 10. He might have meant 10 months.
Yeah.
There was foreshadowing. There's a lot of things. If you listen to Tony Castrocone, he's the voice of the Huskies, he had a sit-down with Coach Pete in his radio show with him last week, and boy, Coach Peterson alluded to all of this.
Oh, really? I mean,
you could hear it in his voice. You could see some of the things and how he said it. And he said, there are times that family is just more important than football. And some of the things and how you could see it. Some of his comments throughout the entire season, there was a little bit to it. And maybe the season not being as good as it should have been.
Oh.
The anxiety and stress. And I always tell everybody, you have to pick family and your health before anything else.
Right.
Before anything else, there's no job worth any of it. And for all these college coaches that put in the time, the energy, and what it takes to coach at this level now with the early signing period and how that has even changed the landscape.
Out.
And also now with college athletes going to get paid more, everything is going to change. College football is going to change so much in the next decade, we're not even going to recognize it. And so that, and one of those things, you want to spend more time with your family? Because you're at age 55, like Coach Peterson, I get that. I'm 44, and I look at it every day. I go, I just blinked, and here goes another decade. You want to appreciate every moment. And these coaches are working 18, 19-hour days. They don't see their families. It's a 24/7 job. They don't even. They may maybe get a week and a half off, if they're lucky, 2 weeks now.
Yeah, that's a tough year. Deal. Tough deal.
But they're highly compensated, and he's made a good chunk of money, and he loves the Northwest, and he's going to stay there and stay on as a consultant. So maybe he's going to Jeff Tedford this thing. And just sit back and consult a little bit.
Okay. Well, Chris Peterson, out. And we'll have more on this coming up, because there's a lot to chew on with Chris Peterson stepping down. One, as you just mentioned, he's only 55.
Yeah.
Like, he's not an old guy. Well, like,
it's like Urban Meyer's 54.
Right. I mean,
they're not old guys. They're burned out.
Yeah. Just want to.
Is it okay to be burned out? Not everybody wants to grind and be Nick Saban's for 30 plus years.
It's not okay.
Cam, do you get the impression that he's done coaching, period, or just done coaching for now?
I wish I could answer that question. I really do. But I think that he's at a point with his family. He wants to spend more time. He's got a son that he wants to spend more time with, kids, wife. I mean, I can't fault that ever.
I got the feeling he's not done, because when he said he just needs to recharge.
That was the word that jumped out at me too, as I saw recharge in there. It seems like, okay, charge up to do this again at some point, perhaps.
Right. Yeah, like, I could totally see him doing that. Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
you never know.
I would not feel that way if he said it, I'm just burnt out. I want to shut it down. I've had a great career. You know, what is he, 100? What's his record? Like 148 and 30 something, whatever. It's really good. Really damn good, whatever it is, or 143-68 or something like that. His record is incredible. And we'll have more on Chris Peterson stepping down, including, look at the landscape of coaching in the Pac-12 now, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, boy, has it changed over the last couple of years, and it will continue to change, especially if USC fans get their way. So we got a lot to get to, not just Chris Peterson. We got Seahawks pulling off a big win in Monday Night Football last night, and a tale of two teams in two directions in Monday Night Football. My goodness, the quarterback battle. You have Russell Wilson, who improved to 9-2 in Monday Night games. Best record win percentage ever on Monday Night Football. And then
bright lights are on. Somebody shows up.
Well, then there's Kirk Cousins, who fell to 0-8. Not really his fault last night. Well, I won't say not really his fault. Not his fault last night. Kirkers played pretty good. Plus, college football playoff rankings come out. This is what they call the penultimate rankings, where it's the second to last one.
Mm-hmm.
We're gearing up for it. 4 o'clock tonight on ESPN. They're going to tell us who they believe are the top four teams in college football. Utah and Oklahoma, all eyes are on them. RP1 Social, 55305, the Better You Today text line.
And I also might college tell you why this rankings. Is the biggest waste of a college football weekend you will have all season long.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a disappointment, Downer Debbie.
Not, but it actually means something what the future could be there.
No. Oh, now you have me intrigued. All right. Sign me up at 6:30 to hear that one. And then the NFC playoff picture. my goodness, did it take a turn last night with Seattle's win. And then betting on football. Why isn't this a bigger story, what's happening with Josh Shaw in the Arizona Cardinals? A lot to get to on today's show, but way I would start, got a double dip of local history.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this date in 1962, the NFL held its 1963 draft. Wrap your head around that. But Terry Baker from Oregon State was the first pick by the Los Angeles Rams. So Terry Baker, former Beaver, picked on this date in sports history, 1962, the number one overall pick by the LA Rams. And then on this date in sports history, 2003, the Grizzlies traded Bonzi Wells. The Grizzlies traded Wesley Person and a 2004 first-round pick to the Portland Trailblazers for Bonzi Wells. This date in sports history, 2003. A double dip of sports history for you. Where we start? Monday Night Football. The Seahawks rally, and the run game mauls the Vikings. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Russell's got time. He's got David Moore wide open. Moore makes the catch. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks. From 60 yards, Russ looked up, saw David Moore running right past Xavier Rhodes and said, here you go. Serves it up on a platter, and the Seahawks are on top, 26-17.
All right, Seahawks feeling all right after that 37-30 win. Steve Rabel on the call right here on the Fan. David Moore, 60-yard touchdown strike from Russell Wilson, and a dance routine immediately following by the Seahawks receivers in the end zone. Those guys are fantastic with their dancing.
What was that mimicking?
That would be New Edition.
New Edition. Who's in New Edition?
Bobby Brown.
Oh, okay, classic. All right, I knew that. I knew that. That's right.
Yeah, this is way back.
We're going way back. I like it.
Yep, a little New Edition dance routine, which I'm all for. Thank you so much, NFL, for bringing fun back to end zone celebrations. It means so much to me. Because I remember it as a kid, you know, whether it was backflips, icky shuffle, you know, big power spikes, all that stuff. When that went away, that sucked. But the Seahawks get a 37-30 win, my friend. And here they are, mauling teams once again. Most impressive part about that game for me, 218 yards on the ground. Chris Carson going for over 100 on the ground by himself. They mauled the Vikings last night.
Yeah, they did a good job up front. The Vikings is no slouch of a team. They came in with a lot of confidence. And you mentioned getting into the break about the Kirk Cousins thing. I think this is one unfair fair deal is Kirk Cousins didn't get enough credit for what he did do last night. I think he played pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
He threw one interception, which wasn't really on him. I mean, it was a great throw. The receiver made a great play. I mean, that's kind of how it worked. He made every throw that he needed to. I don't think the Seahawks had a sack last night. They didn't have one sack.
No.
So the offensive line played very well for the Minnesota Vikings. They just couldn't stop the run. The run game was really what changed it. I mean, that was the big significant difference in this game. There was a couple snafus in the secondary by both teams. The secondary really didn't play great. It didn't. But running up front and watching Chris Carson's and a recharged non-Big Mac eating Rashad Penny, who's got a little bit of juice again.
Yeah, and it was really cool to see in that game. I heard Rashad Penny talking about after the game. He said, it is all love in our backfield. When Chris Carson, they get the ball down to the 1 yard line, and Chris Carson exits the game in the third quarter. He subbed himself out because he wanted Rashad Penny to get the touchdown.
Yeah.
Like Chris Carson's fantasy owners, probably a little upset at the decision.
Selfish.
But that's a really cool thing that, you know, he's like, and Penny said, you know, people think that we should hate each other. It is literally love in our backfield. And I think that is that's a pretty cool thing, rare to see in the NFL because, I mean, you've talked about this before. Isn't the mentality everybody's trying to take your job in the National Football League?
No, it is. And we have to give credit to two things. I see something that I don't know how, for someone that comes from my kind of personality, which is extremely, it could be gruff, but I can be kind of Eeyore sometimes. There is something unbelievably genuine about what Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson have built, to the fact that they can take guys at any point in time in their careers and watch when these players come in, and see not only energy level, but the positivity. I don't know if anybody watched the broadcast, but every time you got a mic on Russell Wilson, who here doesn't believe that he, what you know how hard it is to be non-fake in that moment? Because everybody would look at it, and remember that original crew from the Legion of Boom, and everybody said that they couldn't connect with Russell Wilson because he didn't connect with them because they didn't believe he was real.
Mm-hmm.
After almost 9 years in the NFL, 8-plus seasons, and he's 31 years old, the more you watch that, can't you just say that the positivity that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are infectious to the entire organization? It has to be. I can't figure out any other thing. They win close games. They find ways to win games on big stages. They make big plays. They're always positive. They're never out of a football game. I can only chalk it up to being genuinely excited and excited not only to be there, but to be happy. I mean, everything is positive. That is the hardest thing to do in today's world. Because everybody, it's so easy to be negative. Constantly just find things to nitpick and complain about and point fingers. And it's your fault. It's my fault. Everybody else's fault. They've cleaned house and they've re-energized an entire franchise with two leaders, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson.
What's amazing, too, is that even with that negativity around them, how wildly successful they were, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even it has been a like, the talent outweighed the maybe the culture deficiencies. And now the culture is outweighing the maybe talent deficiencies that they have. And it's kind of flip-flopped in reverse because they are not nearly as talented on the defensive side of the ball, but everybody has bought in. And even when you are down a score at halftime, you know, in Monday Night Football, in a situation where you're sitting there going, man, the Vikings look good in that first half, and things that could have gone wrong did go wrong for them. I mean, Russell Wilson gets a ball batted down at the line of scrimmage. He makes a smart play, and he tries to swat it back down to the ground. It goes right into the hands of a Vikings defender who waltzes into the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like one of those games where it could have just been like, oh boy, but then you're talking about that mic'd up, that always the positivity kind of showed through, and then you're up two scores in the fourth quarter, and boom, the Vikings found their way back into it, and the Seahawks held on, find a way to win. It's an impressive trait that Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and the Seahawks
have. Well, we've talked about it all year, and certainly it's also that they're doing it with a cast of talent that is somewhat castaways. Mm-hmm. And you look at Jacob Hollister, who they got from New England, who's a decent tight end, but you know Luke Wilson is out. He's been a retread that's been hurt with a hamstring, so he's not playing. You have George Fant, who's a 6'5", 325-pound tight end that comes in and out, and he's in motion. He's in shifts and motions, which you say you can't put a tackle in shifts and motions. Well, they're doing that. They have a heavy package. They have two backs. That one guy was an overweight guy that all he did was eat burgers, and then he decided to be a pro, Rashad Penny. And Chris Carson, he's like, is Chris Carson a top 10 back in the league? Sure is. Would you have ever said that about him? No. I mean, is DK Metcalf a guy that takes the top off of every defense? Is he a definite killer? Not yet. He's a rookie.
No.
Is Josh Gordon a castaway? Lockett didn't even have a catch. Yep. He didn't even have a catch. He's one of his best targets. Remember the Pro Bowl kick returner? Mm-hmm. Not even catch. David Moore? Who's David Moore?
We had three targets on the night.
I know, but I'm saying like, no catches.
That's it, though. That's it.
That's your targets. Pro Bowler. That's it. That's your Pro Bowler that everyone tries. It's a Pro Bowler Russell Wilson has. He doesn't have one. He doesn't have anybody out there. So I go, this is the ultimate team. When I'm looking at a team, and I know Baltimore, and I have my power rankings in the NFL power, which I will go into, but this team is just finding a way to win a game by their ultimate positivity.
Yep.
But, and being the team that you watch.
But don't they, I mean, you say they don't have anybody, but, you know, Metcalf was a second-round pick, and he is young. Gordon,
he's a rookie.
Yeah, I know.
No rookies get the credit right out of the gate.
I know, but you can see that talent.
I've only seen one rookie come in and light up the world, and that was Randy Moss, and that was selfishly my year.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a rookie wide receiver come in and be a guy that you went game changer. Randy Moss, the only one I've ever seen.
Right, and I think that's the point that I'm getting to, though, is that like you see the promise in him. You've seen what Tyler Lockett can do, and he's kind of proven over his career. Josh Gordon is a very talented guy, but it is by committee.
He had one catch.
Well, I know. But it is by committee
that
the Seahawks do it. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that because I think most successful teams that we see in the NFL, it is by committee, but they sure as heck don't have a star by any stretch of the imagination. They don't have a star amongst
them. The star is Russell Wilson. That's the star.
Mm-hmm. And he is playing.
He is the Energizer Bunny. He is the positivity coach. He is the upbeat coach. And everyone walks and looks him up and down the side and then goes, is this guy for real? I know everybody was watching that on TV going, is this for real? No way. That's a fake. That's fake. It's not fake. It's not. It can't be. It can't. You can't sell me that anymore. It keeps working.
Well, I'm not telling you.
It's fake. I tried.
I'm not telling you that.
I was like, is this real?
I'm not telling you that.
I can't believe it.
But when you do it so long and so often, it is believable, and that's kind of where he's
at. You mentioned it. What's his record again on Monday Night Football?
9-2.
Okay, so
I think that's what they said.
How the heck do you do that?
You're pretty good. And it is not DK Metcalf anymore.
Decaf Metcalf.
Decaf Metcalf. Non-caffeinated there.
That's a good play by Joe Tessitore there. He's falling on the sword for his cohort, Booger McFarland, where it's now Joe Tessitore who's in the ire.
Those two, first of all, Joe, he's really thick, the Just From Ancoman on the beard. Wow. Very dark. And Booger's hands and the snafu last night of saying, what was it? The Minnesota Miracle was the worst thing
that ever. Against the Vikings?
The worst thing that ever happened to their franchise.
That was actually a really good thing.
It was a little misspoken.
Yeah, that happens from time to time.
Yeah, it's a little misspoken. There's nothing wrong with that. It was better than last week.
Maybe Tessitore was just seeing the Seattle coffee connection and trying to make a joke.
Decaf.
Although he corrected himself, so we know that wasn't the case.
That's right.
All right, well, so I wanted to refresh the power rank here, Dusty.
Oh,
you write yours down.
No. We can do that at 7:30.
Why?
Because we have playoff talk coming up.
I can re-announce
right,
it.
Hit us with it right now.
And you hit yours at 7:30 because yours is more important than mine. Okay.
I just didn't know we were doing that right now.
No, because I think you got to readjust. Right, if you're talking NFL, I want to wait. It's fresh in my mind. So coming in at number one, my readjusting. Baltimore Ravens, that's deservedly so because Lamar Jackson is there. Number two, the New Orleans Saints, as they lead because they're really good and they have something that I put at number three, the Seattle Seahawks. New Orleans has the head-to-head win over the Seattle Seahawks. Number four coming up with the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have dropped only because, well, they lost on the road and then Seattle has a head-to-head, beat them straight up. And then at number five, I'm going to put the New England Pat Riots. Now, with there's honorable mentions, I always like to give honorable mentions because my number six is all built into these three. Kansas City, Green Bay, and Buffalo all sit in the power rank around number six. And I can flip it. Yeah, it's a three-way tie. If I was leaning on one right there, right now, I would give it to Kansas City with the Patrick Mahomes factor. But those are my honorable mentions sitting at three. That is my updated NFL power ranking.
All right. Well, we have a little bit different, but almost all the same. Four of your top five, or three of your top five, are NFC teams.
Yes.
And you bookend them 1 and 5 with AFC.
Yes.
And Tom Brady saying yesterday, we're 10-2, guys, not 2-10.
Right.
Isn't it amazing?
The sky is falling.
Isn't it amazing the perception around New England as opposed to Seattle, New Orleans, and San Francisco of what a 10-2 record looks like?
Right.
I mean,
because expectations happen.
Well, and
it's because you lose back-to-back games.
Style points.
Yeah, that will hurt. Not lose back-to-back games. You lose two of the last three, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they'll be all right. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. No time to panic here. I'm not panicking. You're panicking.
No panic.
Not panicking.
It's just the month of December. Nope. Nobody cares.
You're panicking. I'm not panicking. There's nothing to be worried about here. All right, college football playoff rankings are coming out tonight. What do we expect in the second-to-last rankings, and what will the committee be saying about who gets that fourth seed, depending on who is slotted in, not just fifth, sixth, but 7, 8, 9? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305, the Better You Today text line. College football playoff rankings come out tonight. It'll be the last one before the playoff is decided. On Saturday night, the committee will convene. They will talk about it. When white smoke comes up from the hotel that they're staying in, we will have a 14 playoff.
The pontiff.
Yeah. Yeah, and a new pope.
Yeah.
Well, all those things are going to happen at the same time on Saturday night after conference championship game. But everybody's all eyes are on, you know, who's going to be 5-6 in the new college football playoff rankings. Alabama's loss in the Iron Bowl to Auburn, 48-45. Obviously, the Tide will take a tumble, and they will not be fifth, which means, you know,
how far will they fall?
They can't fall outside of the top 10, can they?
Why not?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying they can't fall out of the top 10, right?
No.
There's no way. Because they
Well, Wisconsin's going to make it in, so who's going to – Wisconsin comes right back in.
Yeah. Well, they're a two-loss team. They'll be the highest-ranked two-loss team.
Minnesota will fall out.
So they will be ninth.
Okay. You think Wisconsin is behind or ahead of Alabama?
Behind.
Okay.
But Wisconsin? Wisconsin's got to be behind them. Are you saying
How many
that
ranked
just because
teams
of just
has
because
Alabama
of the,
beaten?
The what is
none. One? That would be none, Bob.
Oh. Well, at the time they beat one team at the time that was ranked.
No.
No? No? When they played them? Texas A&M? Did they play Texas A&M?
No, currently ranked team. That's what we're looking at. Currently ranked team, none, zero. Zero, zip, nada.
Yeah, that's not good for them.
Mm-mm.
But you know how the committee is. They'll sit there and they'll justify and find a way to sit there and tell us that Alabama is a top 10 team with two losses. And they'll probably will be the top two loss team.
Oh, yeah, of course they will. I know. I'm just being facetious. Of course they'll put them at nine.
Gosh. But it is an interesting question of do they do it, put Wisconsin ahead of them just to prop up Ohio State?
Well, they're going to have to put Wisconsin in the top 10. Certainly Wisconsin will make it 10 at 10th. Minimum.
Yeah. And because it'll probably go 11 Penn State,
yeah,
and then Minnesota will drop down to 12 or 12, yeah. And we'll find out where it goes from there. But here's the question that I have. We talked yesterday about will it be Utah or Oklahoma going 5-6? And I think for drama's sake, because Utah was 6 and Oklahoma was 7, I think for the sake of drama and an argument and a conversation around it, Utah will be 5th tonight. Because they had a convincing 45-15 win over Colorado. There's no reason to drop them down other than, you know, the committee has said before, well, you know, Oklahoma beat a team that we had ranked 21st in Oklahoma State, and that was a convincing win. But I think for the sake of conversation and drama, they will have Utah at 5, and then Oklahoma will sit at 6. Because they want this thing to come down to the wire, because if you have Oklahoma ahead of Utah, there's no way you can justify the Utes jumping Oklahoma in the conference championship game over Oregon.
Yeah, but if I could retort to that, remember who Utah beat, an unranked sloppy Colorado, although they thumped them. Oklahoma beat a ranked Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and that's what I said. We've seen them justify it before, but
Would you bump them up if you were talking about it?
I wouldn't, because of the fact that
style points.
Utah is just pounding teams.
Style point. You just said it. Style points.
It's not a
situation
where
the BCS computer doesn't matter. We're talking absolute style points.
You play the teams that are in front of you. You can't control who's in your league, and I think that that's what the committee is going to look at, and they want to look at it at the end of the year, at the final championship weekend, and say, all right, let's make this a discussion as to who is better, Utah or Oklahoma, because it is good for college football to have that conversation. Like, it's awesome for college football to sit there and be like, bicker over Utah or Oklahoma heading into this final week. Mm-hmm. And so there's no reason to, even though they may jump them at the end, Oklahoma may jump them at the end anyways, because they're going to have a win over a top 10 team in Baylor. And that's okay. You know, if you want to sit there and either way this thing goes, Utah doesn't have a great win on their schedule, do they? We're talking about Alabama.
No, who's Utah Utah's? Doesn't. No, it doesn't look great right now. Their only good win is going to be if they can win this weekend on Friday. That would be, I mean, they've bludgeoned some teams, and that's deservedly so. But their schedule is what their schedule is.
And we talked about, like, you know, at least Alabama, when they played Texas A&M, at the time Texas A&M was ranked, right? Utah does not have a win over a team that at the time they played was ranked.
Yeah.
And they have a loss to a currently ranked 22nd USC team.
Right.
Like, that is not a resume booster builder by any stretch of the imagination.
So going into this thought of this championship week and understanding what how you rank and how you look, will these championship weekend, will this weekend really define how important it is in college football? And all of us tell from Joe Klatt to the top is that the regular season matters. Mm-hmm. If the regular season matters, why are we having five rematches? Five. Tell me this. The hypocrisies of somebody trying to tell me, and over again, the college football is going to remind you, is that every game matters and the regular season matters. Well, why is Clemson playing Virginia? Is that a real value? Is that do we really need to know if Clemson is better than Virginia? We already do know. So it's a pointless game. It's a waste of time, but it's a money grab. So I get it. Injuries can happen. That makes sense. Ohio State's already thumped Wisconsin. Why are we playing this game again? Oh, it's a money grab. It's over. It's already done. Let me see. Oklahoma already beat Baylor, yet we're going to get another rematch where somebody's going to try to convince me that Baylor deserves to get in because it's already hard enough to beat, but the regular season matters. Can't I get told that the regular season matters? What the regular season matters, they already beat them. So I asked that question is that there's only one conference championship game that means anything. That's the Pac-12. LSU and Georgia, those two can already be in. They're already convincing everybody that they're good enough to be in. That doesn't even have to be in the conversation. It's already over. The SEC knows that. It's already been proven. Utah and Oregon is the only game that matters when it comes down to it because they haven't played each other. And they're both zero-loss, one-loss conference teams within their conference. That's a great matchup. That's the only one that matters out of the other five. There are other ones that are just wastes of time in this week. And that's what the other thing. If you're going to consistently tell us over and over again, national narrative, that the regular season matters, why are you having rematches? That's already been proven of who the better team is.
Yeah. Text on the Better You Today. Text line 55305. Oregon should be ranked higher than Alabama. What other two-loss team has a win over a school that made their coach retire?
Oh, that's good.
A little Oregon should go up and a little jab at Chris Peterson walking away as well. Also, this one, whose loss was worse? And we'll go to break on this one. Answer this question, 55305, the Better You Today text line. Whose loss is worse, Utah to USC or Oklahoma to Kansas State?
Good troll, by the way.
55305.
Nice read job by that, Dusty. Good troll.
642 on the Fan. All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. All right, we're talking college football playoff. This text came in. Which loss is worse, Utah to USC or Oklahoma to Kansas State? One loss teams, Oklahoma and Utah. Will the committee go off of which loss is worse or which wins are better?
I wish I could answer that.
And which one is worse in
your opinions, my opinion, is their opinion. It doesn't really, I mean, really, how do you define that? You want to break it down based on a number, on a metric that somebody uses?
Which team do you think is better, Utah or USC or Kansas State? USC or Kansas State?
Based upon talent-wise, I would say USC, but then conference wins are hard, even for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's a road game. You had to play a tough road game. You got down. You made a run late. USC is tough to play. I mean, USC is not a slack this year. They're not a walk-on team. I mean, look at them. They're not bad. They're 8-4.
And that's why the question is, like, will the committee look at, all right, who has the better wins versus who has the better losses? Because, look, Oklahoma has wins over ranked teams. Like, they beat Oklahoma State. They've beat Baylor, right?
Which they play again.
But people will always prop up the Big 12 because Texas is still seen as this great program, right?
Yeah. They want to be.
They're 7-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're 7-5 on the year. I mean, that's a bowl team, but that's a pretty average mark in the landscape of college football. And then at the bottom of your conference, you got schools like Kansas and Texas Tech with Matt Wells as a new head coach there, a down year for TCU, a down year for West Virginia. You know, all of these things kind of will roll into play here as, you know, is the Big 12 any better than what the Pac-12 slate is that Utah had to go through? And so those one losses may be the measuring stick, not the quality of your wins.
Well, if we had an 18 playoff right now, it could match up perfectly. And I know that this is the pie in the sky, but Ohio State would play Memphis because Memphis is going to play Cincinnati in a championship game, which, oh, by the way, is another rematch.
From last weekend.
Yeah, they're going to play again. This is dumb, guys. Look how dumb this is. I mean, I'm just having to say it right out front. It just doesn't make any sense when you tell me the regular season matters. Memphis already won. They're going to play each other again. It doesn't make any sense at all. So put Ohio State and Memphis. That's the number 8 ranked team. You're in. Georgia could play Utah 4-5. You look great right there. No problem. You can put LSU and play Baylor. And then you can put Clemson and Oklahoma playing in at the 3-6. It'd be a great setup. You don't even need these conference championship games. They don't make any sense.
Yeah, and nobody would still go to the game in Levi Stadium, whoever's playing in it. You know?
Yeah.
You know, nobody go.
Well, that's my other thing is how many Duck fans are getting in their car or getting on their flights?
Well, they should.
I know they should, but how many are actually going to do it now because they say sounded super deflated yesterday?
Well,
I mean, the whole apathy of the entire fan base is about, we're not in the college football. You have a chance to win a ring, be it a West Coast ring, and go to a Rose Bowl. Aren't you a little bit excited?
Yeah, but the wind was taken out of the sails with that Arizona State loss, you know, and that's an inexplicable loss, and there's always going to be a facet of the fan base that doesn't like that. But also, there is a facet of the fan base that is actually excited at the opportunity of, you know, win, lose, or draw, a Rose Bowl is in the cards for Oregon. You know, it'll be if the Rose Bowl decides to take Oregon at that point, if they lose in the Pac-12 championship game. But, you know, going to a Rose Bowl is something that, you know, there's fans that, we got those texts yesterday, they didn't think that this program was ready to be in the college football playoff because they would, look at it, would they put up a fight against LSU or Ohio State? Like, those two teams are really dang good. And I think it'd be awesome to be there, and I think it'd be a competitive game.
This text on the Better You Today text line says, the Big 12 championship game is bigger than the Pac-12 championship game. Oregon sunk the Pac-12. Well, ask yourself this. Do you really need to see Oklahoma play Baylor again? If you already know Oklahoma's better than Baylor, which they already proved that in one game, which college football playoff matters, regular season matters, and Utah beats Oregon, you tell me. You tell me right now, are you significantly guaranteeing that Oklahoma is a better team than Utah?
No.
Game's already been played. So, I'm not sold that Oregon has sunk anything. I just think that Utah needs to play a very good football game. That's why this conference game should have been a regular season game, but we're not going to see it. Would it have been more juice if you would have beat AS? Of course it would be.
You know, there is one thing that the Pac-12 could have going against it, too. It stuck out to me. Heather Dinich was on with Golic and Wingo this morning. She is the college football playoff insider for ESPN. And she's talking about how she's been at every single one of these final rankings for the college football playoff where something rare happens. And take a listen. Do you get the same feeling I did about, is this a disadvantage for the Pac-12?
This is when the committee's watching those games together for the only time all year. And then after those games are over, they walk right next door into the next room and sit down and start to talk about it. So when you talk about something that is fresh in your mind, what if Oklahoma struggles to beat Baylor and Utah on Friday night has a 2-touchdown win against a ranked Oregon team? All of those things come into play, and it truly is a lasting impression because it's fresh on their brains. They're all together. They're talking about it, and then they go and vote on it.
So she's talking about the fact that everybody's watching these games together for the only time ever on Saturday in the only conference that's playing their conference championship game the day before is
no,
the
Pac-12. It's an epic fail. It's an epic fail by Larry Scott in the Pac-12. It's epic. Epic proportions. It gives no excitement. It's a bad venue. And it's a bad setup nationally for those reasons, and those reasons specifically is you have to be in these committees' eyes. Now, I know Rob Mullins is part of that, and he's the chair of committee, but his team is not just the fact that he's going to be a balanced, intelligent man that leads this group. Yeah. I understand that. That is a given. But the Pac-12 needs voices, but it also needs eyeballs. And there's nobody on the West Coast that's going to get a chance to watch it because they're all driving or they're at work. And the East Coast is going to be like, what? What? Really? All right, we'll maybe watch a little bit of it.
5 o'clock on a Friday night.
Not going to happen.
5 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. It'll be the main stage for
No, it is. It's an epic fail by the conference.
You're going to be the furthest behind of all of the conference championship games being fresh in their mind. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Get your thoughts on the final college football playoff rankings. Coming up next hour, the NFC West is now in Seattle's control, and Chris Peterson stepping down at the University of Washington. Jimmy Lake stepping in as the head coach. We'll get Cam's thoughts on this, on his alma mater making a change at the quarterback, or at the quarterback, at the head coaching position, in the coach in waiting now being Jimmy Lake. Hot and Cool is next, though. This is 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.